Good evening, the Venerable Master, Dharma Masters, and fellow cultivators. Tonight is Jinro's turn to tie affinities with the assembly.
上人、各位法师、各位佛友，今天晚上是这里是Jinro，在这边跟大家结法缘。
I was asked to give a bit of report from the trip to Mexico, and I'll do that very quickly, and then I want to talk a little bit about my first days here at the City of 10,000 Buddhas.
那所以法师请我在这边呢讲一下我到墨西哥之旅，还有我会用一点时间讲，很快的用一点时间讲过，然后会花一些时间讲我来万佛城的第一次。
If I say anything that isn't true principle, or that's offensive, please let me know.
那如果我讲的呢，不是真正的这个道理，或者是有讲不好的地方呢，请让我知道。
On the way down to Mexico, we passed through Kalinga. And most of you know that Kalinga is the stockyard, is where the cows wait to go to the slaughterhouse. And there is a stench that fills the air that's almost unbearable to pass through there. And when I went through, I thought of a story that some of the disciples told about the Master. He says that when he would stop there on his way down to L.A. And one day he stopped and he got out of the car and he went and he was reciting a mantra. And one of the disciples looked at the Master and there were great tears in his eyes. And they asked him, "Why are you crying?" And he says, "Because these cows are all doomed to death. There's no hope for them at all."
所以我们开车下去墨西哥的时候呢，有经过一个地方叫这个城市叫做 Kalinka。 基本上这个地方呢，就是这个牛呢会暂时停在那边，然后他们会被送到这个屠宰场去，所以那个地方特别有一个很臭的一个臭味，臭到就是没有办法可以忍受。所以他们后来我在这个地方的时候呢，就想到上人的一个故事。有一次上人要到洛杉矶的时候呢，就在一个地方停下来，然后他就开始诵咒。 所以有一位弟子就看到上人呢流眼泪，就问上人说：“上人，你为什么哭呢？”然后上人就说：“这些牛呢都完了，他们都将近要临命终了，已经完全没有希望了。”
So at the end of our trip in Mexico, we were invited to visit a cow farm. It's actually kind of a dairy, but it's called a cow farm. And in this cow farm, I'd actually never been to one before. And it was just a long shed. There weren't any walls at all. It was completely open. And the cows were lined up in their stalls one by one. And it was very filthy. But the cows just are there all day and they just eat hay and they stand there. Then they're taken into a special place to be milked. And once they're milked, their milk is made into ice cream and is sent away.
所以在我们这个墨西哥，到墨西哥回来以后呢，我们就被邀请到一个农场去。那这个农场是专门做乳制品的。那以前我都没有去过，所以我在那边呢就看到这个牛棚，它是开放式的一个牛棚，所有的牛呢都一个一个呢站在它的这个槽里面，那非常的肮脏。所以整天呢，他们就是这个吃东西，然后就在那边站在那边。然后时间到呢，他们就被带到一个地方呢去挤这个牛乳。那这个牛乳出来以后呢，就
OK，所以这个牛奶呢是特别做这个冰淇淋的，所以牛奶挤完了，他们就被送走了。 Next, we came to an area, and there were rows and rows of white boxes, wooden boxes, and inside the boxes there were crates, kind of crate-like boxes. Inside the boxes were hundreds of calves. They were little bulls, bull calves. And they were all kept in this tiny box, and they're there for days and days and days until they get old enough to be sent to the slaughterhouse. All the cows are all kept, and they're all raised as milk cows, but the bulls are all sent away.
那后来我们就看到另外有一个地方呢，就是一排一排的这种白色的木箱，然后它就好像一个槽一个槽这样子，然后里面大概就有一百只牛，然后这是小木箱，然后这些牛呢，他们就是住在这个木箱里面，然后就很多时间一段时间过去以后呢，这些牛就会被送到这个屠宰场去。那但是呢，这个母牛呢就会被留下来，因为他们会被留下来挤牛乳。
So the guide told us that as soon as the calves are born, that the mother will lick them one time, and then the calves are taken away from the mother, and they're fed grain and hay. They're not given milk at all.
所以这个。那边养牛的人呢，就告诉我们，这个小牛生下来以后呢，母牛呢会舔这个小牛一次，然后这个小牛就被带走了，所以他们就会被饲养，然后喂他们吃一些谷物以及稻草没有喝母牛的奶。
Now these cows are bred through artificial insertion, which is very painful, but So as I was looking at the cows, and I was thinking, here it is. You know, I've heard about this, but now I actually see it, and I'm in this hell. It's really hell for the cows. Yet I could not feel the pain of the cows. I could not stand in for them, and this really made me realize how fragile we are. That even though as human beings.That we can't even stand in for the other, no matter what.
所以那这些这些小牛呢，他们就有一些人工的这一些针筒啊，或者是这种人工的一些器具呢，然后让他给他们打针，然后他们就可以慢慢长大。那当其实我以前就有听过说这个畜牧场里面他们是这样子来养牛，我只有听过，那但是现在我看到，那我觉得那个地方呢就像一个地狱。虽然我眼睛看到这些牛，他们受这些痛苦，但是我感觉不到他们的痛苦，我也没有办法代替他们的痛苦，代替他们受这种苦。那因为这样子呢，我感觉到我们的人类呢是非常的脆弱。虽然我们是人，但是我们没有办法代替任何一个众生受任何一种痛苦。
Now on a brighter side, I start off with the sad news. The trip to Mexico was wonderful.I was very impressed by the girls. It's my second time to go to Mexico with them. And the first time, they built a toilet, an outside toilet. And they also painted a couple of houses. And this time, they worked on the inside of the houses. They built a drywall. They were able to use the drills and use a putty. And they were just wonderful. I was really impressed the amount of work that they did and how well they did it. And also... Just a relationship with the Mexicans, the girls planned a whole program, a summer camp. The girls did all the teaching, did all the arts and crafts, all the games and everything. And it turned out to be very successful, a very, very happy time. And I hope that we can go again next year, but it depends on the situation.
那所以我刚才讲的呢是讲比较这个比较伤心的一面，那现在就讲比较好的一面。所以这一次我们的墨西哥之旅基本上呢是非常美好的，那我觉得这些女学生呢让我的印象非常的深刻。第一次我们去年也有去，那第一次我们去的时候呢，我们帮这些人造了一个室外的马桶，也帮他们这个油漆他们的房子。所以这一次我们去的时候呢，我们是做这个房子里面的一些东西，比如说帮他们架一些这个墙，建一些墙壁啊，然后这些女孩子他们就会要用这个砖子啊，种种的不同的工具。所以我觉得他们让我有一个很好的印象。那他们工作也做得非常的好，跟那边的人呢也建立了一个很好的缘，有很良好的关系。基本上这些学生女学生呢，他们把这个这几天的课程呢都是他们计划的，他们教 教这个他们这边的孩子做艺术品啊，做手工品啊，还有他们设计的种种的游戏，基本上呢都一切都很顺利啊，都很圆满，他们也很开心，所以希望我们明年还可以再去，不过就要看因缘。
So I want to talk about one experience I had with the Venerable Master that changed my life. When I first came here, he was teaching the Nirvana Sutra, and he told everyone, he says, my time is limited. I won't be here very long, and I'm going to go into retreat. I don't want anyone to talk to me. I don't want anyone new to come see me. Don't even bow to me. Don't even speak to me when I'm walking, because I have things to do right now. And he says, the new people, all you monks and nuns, I've trained you all these years. Now, I want you to train the new people. So my name was Guobei. He said, okay, Guobei, you don't come to me for anything. You know, if you need anything, go to the monks, go to the nuns, and they'll help you. I'm retiring.
所以我就在这边呢，就想要讲我跟上人的故事。这也是改变我的一生的一个故事。当我来到万佛圣城的时候，上人正在讲解《涅槃经》，上人就说我的时间非常的有限，没有多久了，那我要去闭关，所以现在这个你们都不要来打扰我，也看到我在路上呢，也不要跟我顶礼，也不要跟我讲话，我现在就有一些事情要做。那新来的人呢，你们这个男众女众法师，我都已经训练你们很久了，所以你去训练你们就可以去训练这些新来的人。那当时我的法名叫做国北，上人就说国北你不要来找我，你如果有问题的话呢，你就去找法师因为我要去闭关了。
There weren't any Chinese classes when I came, so the master said you should have a Chinese class and you should teach Guo Bei some Chinese. So it started. My very first teacher taught me for a week and she says, look, you'll never learn Chinese. I'm going to quit. My second teacher says,I was told to come and teach you 10 lessons. I have this program, it's called Learn to Speak Chinese Perfectly Well After 10 Lessons. I've given you 10 lessons. If you don't learn to speak Chinese, then, you know, I have other things to do.
所以当时我们是没有中文课的，所以他们就要教我中文，就说你们教国北中文好了。所以刚开始的时候我就有一个老师，那他教我的时候就看看我，然后就告诉我说你永远都不会学会中文的，所以我不教了。我有第二个老师，第二个老师就说我只教你十堂课，因为我有这个授课计划，就是说你只要学十堂课，你就可以讲非常好的中文。那如果十堂课以后你还不会讲中文呢，我也不想教你了，因为我还有其他事要做。
So I memorized 10 lessons in Chinese, but my teacher couldn't understand what I was saying, and I couldn't understand her, but I knew the lessons perfectly well. So her time was over, and then it kind of started, you know, once in a while, somebody else would come to a class, and then whenever a new person would come, they were always assigned to teach Chinese.
所以我的十堂课也就上完了，但是呢，虽然我听得懂我的老师在说什么，我老师听不懂我在说什么，可是我十堂课我都很知道这十堂课的内容，所以十堂课过去了，老师的时间也超过了，所以我就有时候久久一次呢，就会还是会有人来教中文。基本上所有新来的人呢，都会去教中文。
So a new teacher would say, "Oh, that book you have, that's no good. You have to get a new book. We have a new book." So I would do chapter one, and I go through chapter one. I have a new teacher. She said that method's no good. Let's start all over with a new method.So I did chapter one again. It goes on for 10 years. I did chapter one. Finally, I got to chapter two. But I never, ever got beyond chapter two in all these years.
所以我有新来的老师，然后他们就说，哦，你以前用的那本书不好不好，要换一本新的书。所以换了新的书开始呢，就从第一课开始，然后我就学第一课，然后又来了一个新的老师，他就说啊，你那本书也不好不好，再换一本书， 我又从第一课又开始，然后有另外一个新老师来又说，不行不行，你还要用另外一本新的书，我又从第一课开始，就这么多年下来，十年了，我都在上第一课。后来终于呢上到第二课，那十年过去，我永远没有超过第二课。
So I got bored and I stopped studying Chinese. So one night the master says, Gobei, how's your Chinese? And I was like, oh. And he says, you're too greedy to do other things. You're not studying. And when he said that, my body split into, it just split like an open book. I never had anything like that before. I was completely shattered. I was completely transparent. There it was. All my greed was open to everyone. And I tried to cover it up, but I couldn't cover it up. I tried to think of things that, you know, to try to say, well, you know, it's not real. I'm not greedy. I'm just, but no matter what, I could not cover up the greed. The master had completely opened up this door and he went down to such a deep level. And it was just, my body was just like, I was frozen, yet I was shaking, and it was just extraordinary. But what happened later on is the time went by, this door stayed open. And then I began to realize, oh, not only am I greedy, I'm also selfish, and I'm, you know, I criticize people. I have this fault, and I have that fault, and I have this fault. And before I knew it, it's like Pandora's box. I'm just putting all these faults out. So I begin to actually see myself for the first time in my life, just because that one thing the master did. He had that way of doing that, picking one thing, and then it just kind of starts the snowball rolling.
那后来，因为我都没有超过第二课，所以我就觉得非常无聊，所以我也就不再学中文了。后来有一天，上人就说：“国北，你的中文学得怎么样啊？”然后，我就这样子回答。然后上人就说：“因为你太贪心了，你都在做别的事情，你没有认真学中文。”那当上人跟我讲这个的时候呢，我的身体呢就好像被打开透明的一样，我觉得我有这个贪心的问题，那我想要把它这个复藏，可是我完全没有复藏，然后我想要找一些理由来解释给上人听，其实我不是很贪心，我有什么什么理由，然后想要复藏它，但是我没有办法复藏。上人他就把我的心整个都打开了，然后当时我的身体就好像僵硬在那里，然后也在发抖，那然后就知道说我有这一个问题。那上人把这个心把我心里面这个门打开以后呢，这个门还是一直都开着。从此之后，我不只发现我有贪心的问题，我也发现我很自私，我有这个问题，有那个问题，我还看别人的错，种种的。那就好像这个整个箱子都是打开的，所以我就看到我自己种种不同的不同的问题。因为上人他有一种方法，他可以把我们的心打开以后呢，让我们知道自己有什么问题，然后从此以后就好像滚雪球一样越滚越大，我们就会越来越看到自己到底有什么问题。
By the way, I'm in chapter 4 right now in Chinese, so I made progress.
所以我现在已经读到第四课了，我的课本，所以我有进步了。
Now I have a story people are very interested in. Now what's the difference between the Chinese and the Westerners?So when I was in CDR, I was assigned to work in the kitchen one day, and I was working with the kitchen manager, and she told me to peel some apples that should help me. So she picks up this cleaver, and she starts to peel this apple, and I picked up this little tiny paring knife, and I start to peel my apple. So I peel my apple around and around the apple in this perfect ring.So when we finished, she held her apple up, and I held mine up, and mine looked exactly like her. She did a great job, so did I. The apple was perfect. You know, both of us were like really, really good at peeling apples. But she grabbed my apple, and she looked at it, and she turned it around, looked it upside down, and she says, you know what, boo-how. I go, boo-how, what do you mean? And she handed me this cleaver,And she got me a cutting board, and she gave me an apple, and she motioned for me to peel the apple with a cleaver. You know, the big Chinese knife. I call it a cleaver, it's so big. So I started peeling this apple, with this cleaver, and I started chopping this peel off. And when I finished, there was apple peeling on the wall, on the floor, on the cutting board. There was applesauce, and there was this little tiny bit of an apple left. And she picked it up, and she looked at it, and looked at it. And she says, she came here this big smile, and she says, "Hun Hao."
OK, 我现在可以跟大家讲一个故事，因为很多人对这个问题都非常有兴趣。他说中国人跟西方人到底有什么不一样？那当时我是在法界圣城在 CDR 工作，所以有一天我在厨房，然后这个厨房的这个法师呢就跟我说我们要削苹果。那这个法师削苹果的时候呢，他是拿一只很大的菜刀。他拿菜刀削苹果，那我呢就拿一只很小很小的刀。那我怎么削苹果呢？我就是用绕着这个苹果削，这样圆圆的，这样一条一条这样削，绕着这个苹果是削圆形的。那这个法师呢，他就拿着这个菜刀呢，就这样削他的苹果。所以我削完的时候呢，当然这个苹果就有苹果皮，就是一圈削下来。然后他呢也用菜刀把他的苹果削好了，他也拿起来看。其实两个苹果皮都削好了，都很好，但是他看看我的苹果，上上下下左左右右看完，前后左右看完，他就说不好不好。然后我就说哈不好，然后他就拿了这个菜刀叫我用菜刀削苹果。那我就拿了这个菜刀，然后在这个砧板上这样削苹果，他就用这个手笔告诉我怎么削。那我就用这个菜刀开始削，其实我不是削苹果，我是想切苹果。等我把这个苹果这个削完切完以后呢，这个削完用这个菜刀削完以后呢，其实在这个墙壁上啊，地上啊，然后在这个砧板上到处都是苹果，还有苹果皮，甚至有苹果酱，因为就已经都弄烂了。所以他就然后只有剩下一点点苹果肉，那他就拿起来，然后他就笑得很开心，就说很好很好。
I have 5 minutes left, and I just want to mention one thing about the fruit trees that we have, a little bit of the gardening. We have a lot of fruit trees that have been offered to us, and they've been planted. But we need to take care of the fruit trees, because fruit trees need, when they have grass, right now grass is taken over the fruit trees. And if you allow grass to grow under the fruit trees, the grass would take all the nutrition and take all the water from the fruit trees. So if we have time, I hope we do, that we can take away the grass, and then you can put mulch on top under the trees to keep the moisture in and keep the nutrition in. And so I hope that we all can join together. I know we're very busy with everything coming up, but it'd be good if we can, when you have some time, to go out and pull some grass away from the fruit trees.
还有五分钟，所以我想讲一下这个果树，因为有人供养给我们很多的果树，然后我们已经种下去了，所以我们需要照顾这些果树。目前这些果树下面呢长了很多很多的杂草，那如果这个果树下面有很多杂草的话呢，会把这个营养还有水分呢都从这个果树这边吸收掉。所以有时间的时候，希望我们可以去这个拔这个杂草，然后放一些这个 mulch， 放一些木屑在上面，所以可以帮忙这些果树呢保持它们的营养以及水分。我知道我们大家都非常的忙碌，但是希望大家能够也找一点时间帮忙去拔这些草。
I have a few more. I have one more story, a quick one. I actually, believe it or not, but at one time I was asked to be the kitchen manager, which was a great surprise to me and a great surprise, especially to the Chinese cooks. But that's the way it was. So my first job, I went in and we were having a Dharma assembly, and so. I was kind of told that I should set. Everybody tell me what to do. I was a kitchen manager. Everybody tell me what to do. So I was told to set up for the Dharma assembly. So I set up for about 400 people, the plates and everything. And then I finished and I left. And when I came back, the tables were all cleaned. Everything had been taken off the tables. And somebody was resetting up the tables. So they spent all this time to reset up 400 places, and I looked at them, and I couldn't figure out what was happening because they looked almost exactly the same way I had set them up. But there must have been a great reason. I never could figure it out, but somewhere there must have been a lesson in that.
Okay, 我们还有几分钟，所以我讲一个短短的故事。就是有一次呢，曾经我也是厨房的点座。那这个对我来说呢，这是一个surprise， 对我来说是很惊讶的事情。那对这个中国这个中国的这个法师这个厨师呢，也是很对他们也很震惊。所以我的第一个工作呢，就是那时候有法会，所以他们就告诉我应该怎么做怎么做。因为我当时是点座，可是大家还是告诉我应该怎么做怎么做。所以第一个工作呢，就是要把这个斋堂整理好，然后要准备400个人的餐具。所以我就去准备400个人的餐具，然后都排在桌上，都排好了。可是后来呢，我又出去看的时候，这个400份餐具呢全部被拿走了，桌上空空如也。所以就看到有人重新呢在这个把这个餐具呢再重新整理，然后重新放在桌上。然后他们就花了很多时间再把这个400份这个餐具呢再放回桌上。那当时也没有人告诉我，我到现在还不明白为什么我当时弄好的这个餐具呢跟他们后来做好的这个餐具的摆设呢几乎是一样的。为什么要重做？后来我想应该是有原因有理由，然后应该我在里面可以学到一些东西，但是没有人还不知道。
So I had many, many stories to tell. They're a lot of fun, and I know I've learned lessons in all of them. And it's time for me to stop tonight, and I'll tell more stories later on. Amitofo.
所以我有很多故事可以讲，那现在因为时间的关系呢，或许以后再分享。Amitofo.